Loy is pastor of First Primitive Baptist Church in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Glad to have you, Brother Danny. May God bless you.
It's good to be with you this morning. We appreciate the lovely welcome and thankful that the Lord has blessed us with a safe journey. It's a little farther from Arkansas than we realized in making the trip straight out here, but nevertheless, we are thankful. Want to be mindful of the time. Want to hear this dear brother preach again. We were blessed to have him out in our area several years ago for the Rich Mountain Association, and are thankful for the gift that the Lord has blessed this dear brother with, and thankful for him. And we pray that you be mindful of us as we try to speak before you this morning. As is the case so many times, I always find myself wondering where the Lord might lead me to speak, where he might direct my thoughts. And if the Lord has a thought on my mind this morning, I would like to take that thought from beginning in the book of Titus. If I had a favorite verse, it'd be right here in this verse, in this chapter. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. The Apostle Paul says, in hope of eternal life. Brethren, that's our hope. And it's the greatest thing that we can have is an understanding of a hope of eternal life. I've always used the illustration to determine, you know, just what is a hope. You know, in our society today, we use words differently than when the scriptures were written. And this is one of those words that is used quite different. I'm sure last week when it was still part of that long cold winter, you would say, I hope it warms up next week. Coming to the beach from Arkansas, we were looking at the weather forecast and we said, well, I hope it changes and doesn't rain the whole time we're here. But really, we don't know what the outcome will be. We don't understand if it will or if it won't. It's a desire that we have. So technically, the proper term that I should be using is wish. I wish it clears up so that we can play in the water and not freeze the whole time. We did get in the water a little bit last night, just about to the bottom of my calves. That was about enough for me. It was cold. But it's a wish, because I don't know the outcome. I can't really place an expectation on the outcome. I wish. You know, one thing that we hear a lot of back in Arkansas, and I'm sure probably across the whole nation, is people make wagers on these little $2 pieces of paper. And they say, I hope I win the lottery. You know, do you really expect to have that kind of return on investment? See, and that's the difference between a wish and a hope. Right. Is the degree of expectation.
Yes, sir.
And the Apostle Paul tells us, he said, in hope of eternal life. In other places, when we hear about the word hope, we understand that it's that earnest expectation. See there, we already mentioned that 8th chapter of the book of Romans. It's the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. There is a day coming, and I know we all have heard the song, there's coming a day when no heartache shall come. That day is coming, and we hope that it will come. You know, when I first came among the old Baptists, I used that word incorrectly. When somebody asked me about going to heaven, I said, well, I hope so. Again, I was under that wishful thinking. You know, I knew just enough and have heard just a little bit about the eternal life that was given in Christ Jesus to have the desire and the expectation, but I didn't know how to express it. How to give out the proper discernment of the words of God. But Paul, when he says, in hope of eternal life,
He doesn't just tell us that. He gives us reason that we can have that hope. And, you know, when you read the letters of the Apostle Paul, you know, in some places he says, you know, that I say in a few words, and you think about the Apostle Paul and what he says, and, you know, and if anybody would say he says in a few words, it would be him, because Peter said some of the things that Paul spoke were hard to be understood. And when you think about all that is contained in those few words that he describes to us, the mystery of God that has been hidden from ages, these things that have been not made known until this time, that were now being revealed. The Apostle Paul had a great desire for the children of God. You know, he had a better understanding, you know, about the teachings. You know, when I first began to study the Scriptures, I thought the Apostle Paul, you know, now he had this wonderful experience on the road to Damascus. And I thought that after that time of his new birth, that all of a sudden, God gave him all this information. God gave him all this knowledge. Because, you know, this same one that was going about to destroy those that called on the name of Christ is now preaching his name. And I thought, wow, the Lord must have just really dumped the whole truckload on him right then. But, you know, then he says in the Galatian letter, he says, but when it pleased God, there was a time that it pleased God to reveal his son, Paul says, in me. Right. You know, the Apostle Paul was taught better than anybody. You know, and he tells you, there was a time I would have told you, I'm the best there is. When you look back at some of the things that he says, when he gives you his pedigree, he said, if any man have whereof the glory, I more. You know, he said, I was raised at the feet of Gamaliel. I was taught better than any of my peers. I had a better understanding, you know, of the law, of the schooling. You know, and he was the top student that everybody envied. You know, every time you go and take a class and you hope the teacher grades on a curve, there's always that one person that's got to make the perfect score and said, well, you know, no curve today. You know, that was Saul. He was the best there was.
Right.
And in the Philippian letter, you can read his pedigree. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm the best there is. You know, he was given a certain knowledge. But as we all say, his ducks weren't in a row. And when the Lord revealed his son to him, all of that knowledge came into alignment and into agreement. And he began to see things and understand things that were even hidden from him. And he had a great desire for his brethren. Brethren, it's my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. He had a great understanding of the revelation of Jesus Christ and that hope of eternal life that was given to him. He thought that there was nothing that would stand in his way to be able to share that understanding and that knowledge with the children of God. He you can read all of the times that he suffered for the children of God, and he says that he suffered all things for the elect's sakes. For the children of God, he suffered these things. There were so many times that he was beaten and left for dead. He suffered in perils of the deep. He all the different sufferings that he had. He even would tell you that in the, I believe it's in the Colossian letter, he'll tell you that if there's any suffering that I am lacking, in order for the children, now I'm paraphrasing, I'm giving you my version, try not to do discredit to the Scriptures, but he tells us there at the end of the first chapter of the Colossian letter, just like you said, at the end of that chapter, he says that if there's any sufferings where I'm lacking, he says, fill it up. He wants the children of God to know the hope of eternal life. greatly. He has this desire. In another place, he said, I could wish myself accursed for my kinsmen, for my brethren. I can relate to the Apostle Paul. I have some of my brethren, my kinsmen in the flesh, that they need a deliverance. Right. They need a knowledge, a better understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to understand that the Scripture teaches an earnest expectation. They don't need to know that the Bible gives them a wish. If I do certain things, then maybe this will happen. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. He promised before He spoke this world into existence. There are many places we could go, and I won't take the time to go there, but brethren, we can see throughout the Scriptures, we can go back in time and see that there were things that took place. There were things that happened before Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But brethren, what Paul is telling us here happened before the world began. In another place where he's speaking to Timothy, he says, just a few pages over, he says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In the Ephesian letter, he says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Brethren, He made a promise. You can go to the 89th division of the Psalms and read where it talks about this promise, this covenant. This is not a different purpose, but it is the sole purpose of God. It is the salvation of His children, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, that we can stand in His presence. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Darkness and light cannot mix. We in our present state cannot stand in the presence of God because of the sin in our flesh, because of our sin nature. It's darkness. What happens to the dark when you turn on the light? It is destroyed. It vanishes. And that's talking about the goodness of God, the glory of God. Remember, Moses had a desire to see God's glory, and he said, no man has seen my face and lived. But God blessed him to put him in the cleft of the rock and put his hand over it as he passed by. He allowed him to see the afterglow, the hinder parts of his glory. And Moses' countenance was changed so much, even at that little glimpse, that the Jews couldn't bear to look at him. He had to put a veil over his face when he was in their presence. And that's just from the afterglow of the glory of God. We can't stand in God's presence, in His face, because of the sin in our lives. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Darkness is destroyed by the light, by the goodness of God. Think about the magnitude of that statement. The goodness of God destroys the darkness. This promise was given in Christ. When you consider what Christ endured for us, the punishment that we deserve for our sins, Jesus Christ bore them in His body on the cross. He paid our sin debt. We can't stand in the presence of the goodness of God, but Jesus Christ endured the wrath of an almighty God on our behalf. And when you begin to see and understand the blessed assurance of the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, you understand the hope of the gospel and why it is that God blesses us to be able to have an understanding of our home in heaven. And you can understand why Paul was so passionate, why he was so headstrong in allowing the Lord to use him as a vessel. Now, I understand he's a chosen vessel when I say that. But you know, he could have been rebellious. He could have been disobedient and rebelled against. But he says this dispensation that was given to him, it wasn't given just for his benefit. He said, it was given to me for you. The children of God, and brethren, to understand the hope of eternal life and the fact that it's based upon God's promise. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. We can hold on to the truth during the times of sorrow, during the times of struggle, during the trials and cares of this life, in hope of eternal life. You know, I know we've all had the blessing and the privilege to visit folks when they were nearing the end of their journey here in this world. And you talk with them, and you understand what it means that though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It's because of the hope of eternal life. And we know that to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. I can endure all things. I can endure the struggles. And you know what? Paul uses some terms that I can share with you, because we talk like that in the South too. Paul says, for I reckon. He said, I have determined. That's an accounting term. That's not just a Southern term. Right. That's an accounting term. He's looked at things and he's weighed them out. And he's put the debts and the credits in the right place and in the proper place. And he has determined that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And that's according to hope of eternal life. Y'all pray for this dear brother. Thank you for your kind attention.